Good morning, RVA. It's 50 degrees, and today looks a lot like yesterday, which turned out to be a real stunner. Expect highs in the upper 60s, some sunshine, and for at least 3 minutes, not a care in the world. Enjoy it, because this weekend's starting to look real wet. Water cooler. It's Tuesday, and the COVID-19 community level in Richmond, Henrico, and Chesterfield is low, kind of. The 7-day case rate per 100,000 people for each locality sits at 142, 245, and 193, respectively. Assuming hospitalization rates and capacities stay the same, the magic case rate threshold for community level to flip from low to medium, that's green to yellow, is 200. Henrico's already there, and Chesterfield's knocking at the door. The CDC updates their community level indicator once per week on Thursdays, so technically the region remains in low today, but if we were to run the numbers this morning, we'd have a split decision with Henrico medium, while Richmond and Chesterfield remained low. There's more disease out there than previously, so maybe start to think through your own actions and risk levels. Here's a quick piece from Henny Graff at NBC 12 about bike lanes and bike share. Two interesting tidbits worth noting. One, the city has 15 miles of bike lanes ready to roll out with the current street paving schedule, which I think you can find listed here. And two, the new Southside bike share stations open the week of May 23rd, fingers crossed. Actually, looking at the bike share map for the first time in a while, and I see 5 new stations planned for the south side and 4 new stations on the north side, and gasp, even one in Carytown. I've been burned before, RVA Bike Share, so I'm not holding my breath, but several of those proposed stations would create useful trips for me and my family. The Richmond Times-Dispatch's Chris Suarez reports on the City Council's final budget meeting last night. No big surprises for those of you following along for the past couple of months. Council passed the budget without issue. Now on to passing interesting legislation, like the Civilian Review Board, land value tax, ranked choice voting, and collective bargaining. Speaking of, Chris Suarez also has the update on the city's 2 dueling collective bargaining ordinances. Not a ton of update here, honestly, other than Councilmember Lambert removed her name from the Everyone Gets a Union paper. That's Ordinance 2021-345. I'm not sure that really matters, though, because the paper still has 5 co-patrons. I don't know why council has hesitated on moving forward with this one. Seems like they could just vote to pass it today with the existing co-patron. Ben Pavoir at VPM reports that Delegate Donica Rome will run for State Senate. She's the first openly transgender person elected to any state legislature, and as such, has a huge national platform for raising money and winning elections. She's also a pretty great legislator focused on passing nuts and bolts legislation that has real impacts on her constituents. Taking this seat and maintaining a majority in the Senate next year is absolutely critical to preventing implementation of the governor's agenda, especially after the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. Finally, to close, these great shots of downtown, Browns Island, Tredegar, and the river via the RVA subreddit. This morning's long read is titled, "Of Course the Constitution Has Nothing to Say About Abortion." It shouldn't surprise anyone, especially not a Supreme Court justice, that we lack great historical examples of laws protecting women's rights. Here's an excerpt. "This will be, in large part, because Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito is surprised that there is so little written about abortion in a 4,000-word document crafted by 55 men in 1787. As it happens, there is also nothing at all in that document which sets out fundamental law about pregnancy, uteruses, vaginas, fetuses, placentas, menstrual blood, breasts, or breast milk. There is nothing in that document about women at all. More consequentially, there is nothing in that document or in the circumstances under which it was written that suggests its authors imagined women as part of the political community embraced by the phrase, we the people. There were no women among the delegates of the Constitutional Convention. There were no women among the hundreds of people who participated in ratifying conventions in the states. There were no women judges. There were no women legislators. At the time, women could neither hold office nor run for office, and except in New Jersey, and then only fleetingly, women could not vote. Legally, most women did not exist as persons. Because these facts appear to surprise Alito, abortion is likely to become a crime in at least 20 states this spring. If you'd like your long read to show up here, go chip in a couple of bucks on the old Patreon. That's patreon.com/GMRVA. This morning's picture of the day is a picture of weird machinery down on the canal that I definitely thought said no BS on first glance. Intro and outro music by Matt Fisher. And you can find links to all these stories and more in the show notes or on GMRVA.com.